Please turn your Bibles to Daniel and chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, we are going to pick up the reading from verse 11. And we are going to read on to the end of the chapter, after which I will share a few thoughts. Daniel 6, reading from verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true. According to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petitions 3 times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. These men then approached the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. Then the king rose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. And the king gave the command that they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote to all peoples and nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for He is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and His dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So, this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Now this evening I want us to go back to the book of Daniel. When we were last here, which was a few weeks ago, we had begun to consider the sixth chapter. And we took some time to look at Daniel as a faithful man in particular. And we have seen in the course of our study through this book that Daniel was indeed faithful. He was faithful to God. He was faithful in his service to Nebuchadnezzar, as well as in his service to Belshazzar. In Daniel chapter 6, we began to see that even during the reign of Darius, he was a faithful man. There are three things in particular we considered regarding his faithfulness, especially during the reign of Darius, and these characteristics would have been true in previous realms as well. We saw that he was excellent in himself. Even in his old age, he was governed by a sense of loyalty and integrity that stemmed from his relationship to God. At the time he was serving Darius, he was an old man. He was probably in his mid-80s. And he wasn't blaming his old age for any shortcomings or failures. Indeed, his old age did not stand in the way of his devotion and commitment. Sometimes we can blame our shoddy performance on the fact that we have grown older. We have grown slower. We have aches and pains. Well, Daniel does not seem to have suffered from that sort of thing. He was excellent in himself. And even in his 80s, he was promoted to a higher political position. We also noted that he was faithful in his work. He worked harder than the other governors and satraps. He did honest work in the interest of the king. He promoted the interests of the king. He looked after his money, no doubt after his other property. And the king trusted him. The king loved him. The king could entrust all his affairs to him. We also saw that his faithfulness aroused the jealousy of other governors. And this jealousy led them to persecute him. Daniel suffered much persecution at the hands of men who were limited by their own lack of faithfulness and lack of honesty. Rather than admire him and strive to work hard to be like him,
to work harder like him. They began to persecute him and to undermine him. Basically, they strove to prevent him from following his own values and his own conscience. They persecuted him in such a way that they could somehow make it difficult for him to continue being faithful to his God, to continue expressing excellency in himself. But Daniel remained faithful. And even though these wicked men had convinced the king to issue a decree or an edict that would prevent Daniel from pursuing his God and his religion, he continued to be faithful. He was faithful to his God, the God of the Jews. Now this evening, I want us to look at Daniel's non-compliance with the king's edict, which would have kept him from worshipping his God, serving his God, from prayer. And there are four things in particular I'd like us to note about that non-compliance. First, we will look at the plotter's response to his non-compliance to the edict, and then the king's response to his non-compliance to the edict, the price he paid for his non-compliance to the edict, and the deliverance from the price he would pay for his non-compliance to the edict. And of course, the points I will be underlining there indicate that although he would have been required by the law of the Medes and Persians not to worship his God, not to pray, he did not comply with that requirement. He did not comply with that law or demand. Well, that being the case, let us note first of all the plotter's response to his non-compliance to the edict. A number of his fellow governors and the satraps were plotting to have Daniel punished for not complying with the edict. And Daniel did not comply. When it became plain that Daniel was not heeding the king's edict, the plotters set in motion the wheels that would lead to his execution. The whole plan was about setting him against the king so he would break his law, so he would be executed. And that would open opportunities for these other governors. That would stand them in good stead before the king. And the first step they took when they saw that Daniel was not complying was to report to the king. And this is what they said. Verse 12 of chapter 6. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true. So they reported. And they said, look, although you decreed this thing, that Daniel, verse 13, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petitions three times a day. Now, they make it sound like Daniel's life was about disobeying the king's decree. Even though we know that his life was about honesty and faithfulness, that he was very fruitful as a governor, and the king was very pleased with the work that he had done. When they come to report, they say nothing about his faithfulness and honesty. They say nothing about his productivity. They say nothing about all of that. They focus on the fact that he didn't obey a decree that was calling him to violate his own conscience. They were therefore very selective in what they would say about Daniel. And this is very typical of wicked people and non-Christians. Righteous people have been removed from jobs that they were doing well at through slander and selecting reporting of the wicked. The wicked know that the righteous are doing well. They are working well. They are productive. But they don't care about that. They want their jobs. They want their pecks. They want to win the favor of their bosses, just as these righteous people are doing. And they seek to have them removed through character assassination, through slander, through evil reporting, through undermining. Maybe you've suffered something like that. Well, it's not new. In Daniel's time, it was exactly the same. Well, this is how the plotters responded. Let's note, in the second place, the king's response to Daniel's non-compliance to his decree or edict. The king of the empire had made a big mistake. He, of course, did not realize that what the governors were calling him to do was about promoting their own selfish ambitions. It was about undermining Daniel, even though he was his best governor. The king didn't know that. When they asked him to forbid prayer, to forbid worship, all of that was targeted at Daniel. But the king very foolishly went ahead and signed the decree, only to realize later on that this, in fact, was to Daniel's disadvantage. So the king had made a fool of himself. In his own stupidity, he made a decree which condemned this man of God called Daniel. The king's personal desire was to save Daniel, to keep him from experiencing this persecution and possibly death. But by the law of the Mede and the Persians, it was impossible for a decree to be changed. when the king signs it, it becomes established law, and it was impossible for the king to change it. And so the king really had no choice. Although he would have loved to save Daniel, it was his duty, it was his responsibility to pass Daniel over to his own enemies and have them throw him into the lion's den. And this brings us to our third point, which is the price Daniel paid for non-compliance to the edict. He was thrown into the lion's den, because this was the requirement of the decree. The decree didn't just prevent anyone from praying or worshipping any other god apart from the king. It also required that those who break that law would be thrown into the lion's den. Daniel broke that law, and so he was thrown into the lion's den. And the Bible tells us that when they threw him there, you know, the king said to him, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." The king seemed to have come to believe to some extent in the God of Daniel. He had watched Daniel's life. It was very clear that something unusual was about the life of Daniel. He no doubt had heard about how God had used Daniel in the past. He had no way of saving him. He had no power to save him. But he believed that his God, whom he served continually, would deliver him. And then we are told in verse 17 that a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den. That was intended to shut the mouth of the den, very similar to the grave in which the Lord Jesus Christ was buried. It was shut by a very large stone, so that no one could open it. A large stone, a heavy stone, to ensure that if Jesus had not died, well, he would die inside there, out of hunger or out of his wounds, if he was not already dead. But in fact, Jesus was dead. Well, here we read about another stone. It was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring. The lords, the other nobles, also sealed it with their own signets. And the purpose of that was to ensure that this decree, this judgment, this condemnation would never be changed. Daniel would go in there, and the expectation was that he would be killed by the lions. And not just killed, but eaten by the lions. That was the hope. That was the expectation. Well, Daniel was clearly in physical danger. But as you read the story, he wasn't in any spiritual danger. His integrity, his spirituality remained unaffected and intact in spite of being in a lion's den. One commentator has said that in his life, Daniel was fighting against the devil. And he had fended off the devil's temptations. He had often said no to the devil's temptations and the devil's urgings. So the devil, in a sense, had fled from Daniel. And now here in this den, he is not in the company of the devil. He was in much better company. As we shall be seeing in a moment, he was in the company of the angel. You probably read about the angel in the Old Testament, and especially in the book of Genesis. The angel was there with him, even while he was in the den of lions. Let's come in the fourth place and observe the preservation and deliverance of Daniel, even in the lion's den. The preservation and deliverance of Daniel, even while he was in the lion's den, and he was preserved, he was delivered, even for his non-compliance to the edict or decree. Now, the preservation was announced in response to a question from Darius. When Darius put Daniel into the den, he was very disturbed about it. In fact, during the night, he could not sleep. He knew in his own heart, having known Daniel as he did, that Daniel had done no wrong, and that he didn't deserve what he was suffering at that moment. So Darius, the king, was disturbed. He had a sleepless night because his conscience was awake. On the other hand, as we will go on to see, Daniel seemed to be quite at peace in the den. Look at the contrast. Darius was in his palace, most likely on the most expensive of beds in the empire, the most comfortable of beds. And yet, during that night, he was restless. He could not sleep. He could not enjoy any comfort. Daniel, on the other hand, even while in the den of lions, appeared to be comforted and at peace. So at the crack of dawn, Darius rushed to the den of lions. There was a hole at the top of the den, so spectators could see what was going on inside that den. They could see what was happening below, and King Darius would have done that. He went and peeped through that hole, and he could see what was inside. And as he looked there, he was crying lamentably. His voice was filled with anxiety. And he says to Daniel, "Has the God who preserves life been able to preserve you, Daniel?" has your God delivered you? The God you serve continually, has He been able to deliver you from the lions?
Daniel's answer reveals not only that he was still alive,
but he also explains how that he was still alive. Well, first, he indicates the fact that my God has seen that I am innocent. I have not offended Him, and I have done no wrong to you. My God has seen that. My fellow governors failed to see that. Although I endeavored to be faithful, although I worked hard, and although I was honest, although I have a good pedigree, and it is known that I fear the Lord, they ignored that. They told lies about me. They convinced you to sign a decree to stop me from worshipping my God and to end me up in this place. But my God has seen that I am both innocent of offending you and of doing wrong against you. This is another way of saying, you know, my God sees. And my God is just. And my God has given to me what is due. Well, the second thing he says to Darius is that this God has sent his angel into the den. He sent him here. And he has firmly shut the mouth of the lions, so that they have not hurt me. Now this angel, whom I mentioned earlier on, was the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Old Testament, and particularly in the book of Genesis, he did appear from time to time in the form of an angel. Sometimes he came in the company of other angels. But those other angels were not the angel. They could not possibly be referred to as the angel. They were angels. But they were not this angel. This angel was the Lord Himself. He is referred to often as the angel of the Lord, who led Jacob through his long life. The angel of the Lord who appeared to Abraham and whom Abraham had the privilege of entertaining. The angel who saved Noah. The angel who saved Lot. The angel who accompanied Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego in the fiery furnace. You remember that? Daniel's friends were also falsely accused, and they were persecuted for their devotion to the Lord and wounded up in the fiery furnace. And there was an angel there with them who protected them. This same angel came and shut the lions' mouths, Daniel says in verse 22. This same angel restrained the natural instincts of the lion. They would have killed Daniel and feasted on him. They didn't. Instead, he appears to have enjoyed their company. Maybe they provided something of a pillow when he needed to sleep at night. They didn't harm him. They didn't kill him. And he explains that to King Darius. In verse 23, we are told that the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he believed in his God. His God saved him. His God delivered him. And Darius issued a contrary decree. Now here is the law of the Medes and the Persians. It was said that it could not be changed. Well, now Darius is about to change it. And he decrees that those who had told lies about Daniel, those who had accused Daniel, that they should be cast into the den of lions. Them and their children and their wives. The law of the Medes and the Persians at the time were very similar to the laws of the Indians before they abrogated that law. When a man was found to have committed a crime and he needed to be executed, he was to die with his wife and with his children. And this is what the Medes and the Persians did. These men who had accused Daniel, were thrown into the den of lions. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. They didn't touch Daniel, but they touched these people and killed them in a very short space of time. I want to end with a number of important practical points briefly. There are a number of things we learn, and God willing, next week we'll still be in this chapter and we'll learn a few more things. But we do see, first of all, that when we choose to be godly and faithful, the chances are that the world will hate us, the world will persecute us, just as the world did to Daniel. Sometimes through the influence of false teaching, and there is a lot of it in our day, we think that if we remain faithful, we walk with the Lord faithfully, that in itself will keep us from suffering, to keep us from persecution. It will keep us from being hated. We will be loved and people will worship us and all will be well all the time. But we find that that is not always the case. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ had almost promised that if we walk faithfully with the Lord, we will be hated by the world. We may be persecuted by the world. It is helpful to expect that. Because when it comes, we are not going to feel bitter toward the Lord because we are not prospering all the time. We will know that this is something believers are expected to go through from time to time. And then secondly, we find that before Daniel went through this persecution, which took him to the den of lions, he had won many battles. And sometimes we can mistake the winning of one battle for the winning of the war. That Daniel, for example, had escaped mistreatment when he refused to eat at the food to eat the food served to the king at his palace. And when Daniel and his friends had escaped other persecutions, that did not mean they will not suffer yet another persecution. And I think this is a very important lesson. If you have been a victor before, you've gone through a difficulty, and you've come out the winner, that doesn't mean you're not going to face another one, and yet another one, and yet another one. Daniel was in his 80s. Should he have been facing situations like these at that age? Should he have been fighting battles at that age? Wasn't it enough that he had fought so many others and won? Well, clearly, if at this age he's still fighting battles, the lesson must be that we are expected to fight battles throughout our Christian walk. We fight, Paul says, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual forces in the dark places. They will fight against us when we are young, and they will fight against us in our middle ages. And they will fight against us when we are old. Don't ever think that because you are now much older, that the devil will not be interested in you. That he thinks you are spent. He can't possibly do anything with you. That's far from the truth. He doesn't want you to finish well. And there are not many who finish well. They started well. They gained respect. They inspired many. But now that they are older, maturer, they've become a little more careless. They've stopped fighting. They've stopped guarding their souls. And the devil will soon find easy entry into their lives and destroy them. Completely obliterate their reputation. Whatever they have built wants to bring it down. He wants to destroy it so they don't finish well. Some trials come only later in life. So if you think you are done, because you are now 50 years old, or 60 years old, or 70 years old, don't be too quick. Maybe a lion's den still awaits you. How will you perform when you are there? There is another principle. Early success in trials can also serve to strengthen your resolve to win later, your resolve to resist later. When you have not learned to be holy, you've not learned to fight against sin when you are younger, when you are older, it will be even more difficult. Daniel was about 14 when he entered Babylon. And even at that age, he was able to say no, no to temptation, no to the devil. He was able to control himself. He was able to make a stand against many a pressure from the world. He developed spiritual muscle then, that when he was in his 80s, stood him in good stead. Furthermore, when you are in a moment of difficulty, God will be with you there. If you've been faithful to the Lord, you follow the Lord, you walk with the Lord, He will be with you there. Now, I didn't say He will keep you from the lion's den. He will be with you in the lion's den. He was with Daniel in the lion's den. He didn't keep him from the lion's den. He went with him into the lion's den. But Daniel didn't stay there forever. The stone was removed. The stone that kept him there was removed. In a manner similar to the way the stone that kept Christ in the grave was removed, so he would go out. He will be with you there. He will strengthen you there. He will empower you there. He will keep you from distress. He will keep you from depression. He will keep you from restlessness. He will comfort you there. And He will remove you from there. For Daniel, it seems to have been a quick experience. He was in there overnight, and early in the morning, he was out of there. Well, your stay in the lion's den may take longer, maybe much, much longer. He will be with you there, and he will remove you from there. No one can keep you there forever if you are the Lord's.
Here's a final point I want to make. Those who persecute believers, who undermine believers, one day it will be their turn to go into the den. This won't be the den, the den that somebody refers to as the den of a plotter's malice. This will be the den of the righteous indignation of God. The den of God. They will go there. And they won't be with the angel. They will certainly be with the devil. And together with the devil, they will suffer forever at the hand of God. So there will be justice for you. And there will be justice for them. For you, you will be feeding on the grace of God. For them, they will be paying for their sins in hell forever. So your God is faithful. Your God will keep you. Your God will be with you. Your God will deliver you. Just as he did Daniel. When Darius asked him, "Has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Well, he said, "Yes." When you are in the lion's den, will your God deliver you from there? Well, when you are asked that question, you must be able to say, "Yes." Because you know this God, you have served this God, he's been faithful to you in those difficult, painful moments. He will be faithful still, and he will deliver you still. Amen.